And the amazing thing is, without talking to each other, we've all been saying almost the same thing in a little different way from a little different perspective. But I truly believe that God is preparing you to do something simply amazing. And so we have to have a proper understanding of the things of the Spirit. We have to be comfortable with the things of the Spirit if God is going to use us to impact our generation. And we've often thought that if anything is going to happen, it's going to come through some dynamic, powerful preacher. Well, God does use men and women at times that way, but His primary objective is to use all of us to achieve His purpose and plan. And so we're going to pick up where we left off, talking about things of the Spirit. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with that first verse. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. There again, the word gifts was not in the original text. It was added by translators. That's why it's italicized in your King James New Testament. But literally what he said was now concerning pneumatikos, things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, yet ignorance abounds in the body of Christ concerning things of the Spirit. But it shouldn't be that way, and it won't be that way here. If you're ignorant about the ways of the Spirit, in part, I haven't done my job. And I say in part because I can teach it, but if you're not here to get it, what can I say? They can have the best meals at the finest restaurant, but if you don't show up to partake, not going to do you any good. Are you with me? Or you can have the attitude that, well, yeah, that sounds good, Pastor Bill, but I know that's not for me. And the best illustration I can give you that illustrate that point would be, as Pastor Martin said years ago, you can come to my home for Thanksgiving and we can have the turkey, the dressing, cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, all that good stuff laid out, and all you take is two slices of bread. It's not our fault, you know. So I'm giving you everything I got, and hopefully you'll take it and receive and learn something from it. So we're talking about things pertaining to and of the Spirit. Things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand the Holy Spirit, how He works and what He does. Now, if you would go down with me to verse 7. And we're going to read these very familiar verses again. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to or through every man to profit withal. So God's intent is that all of us be used so that we all profit from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but all these work that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. And so really it is the Holy Spirit that operates through us as He wills and shows up many different ways. And for the sake of understanding and clarification, we divided these gifts or manifestations up into three categories. Three gifts, say something, prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And we've talked about those in previous lessons. If you were here last week, you've seen some of those gifts in operation. There are three gifts or manifestations that reveal something. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom and discerning of spirits. The word of knowledge is nothing more than a revelation of something that God knows, something that is presently going on or something that has happened in the past. A word of wisdom deals with things that are yet to come in the future. And most of the prophecy that we have in the Old Testament has a blend, and it is predominantly a word of wisdom for either Israel or the body of Christ. John wrote in the book of Revelation and talked about some things that haven't happened yet. Well, he was revealing the wisdom of God for the future. Isaiah prophesied about things that hadn't happened yet in his day, in chapter 7, in chapter 9. When he said, "Behold, I show you a sign, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son," he was sharing a word of wisdom about Christ who was yet to come. And then he talks about his life, his ministry, and some of the things that Isaiah prophesied about have yet to come to pass. But in the Old Testament, there are over 300 prophecies concerning the Messiah, Jesus. And all of them were fulfilled in His birth, in His death, and in His resurrection. And you find it all throughout the Scripture. Like the 22nd Psalm, David, the psalmist, said some things that there was no way he could have known what they meant in totality. Read the 22nd Psalm and you find things like, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The same words that Jesus uttered on the cross. David knew them by the Holy Ghost hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And so the thing we have to realize is that the Holy Spirit can take you beyond your ability and beyond what you know. But we have to learn how He does things so that we can cooperate with Him. Are you with me? So this morning we're going to talk about three gifts, and we're going to begin, that do something. Those are gifts of healings, working of miracles, and special faith. Gifts of healings, working of miracles, and special faith. Now, how important is this? I want to show you something. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Go over to verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12. Notice verse 27. Notice what it says. "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular." Now, I want to ask you a question. When Paul wrote this letter to the church at Corinth, who was he writing to? Anybody. Come on, you can talk back at me this morning. Like Wednesday night, you can talk back at me. Who was he writing to? The church. When you say the church, what do you mean? The building? No. On the corner of 1st and Corinth? People. Who was he writing to? People. The people, right? You sure this wasn't a memo to the preachers?
No.
The deacon board?
No.
The ministerial association?
No.
He was writing to who?
Everybody
in the church. Do you know what the word church means? It's not pews and steeples. Okay? Ecclesia, church, means the called out ones. Well, who's that? That's you. You've been called out of darkness into the marvelous light. You've been called out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. That's you. The church is people, not stuff. The church is people, not stained glass windows. Thank God for our stained glass windows. I brag about our windows. But I don't worship the windows. That's not the church.
Amen.
You're the church.
Amen.
And so the major investment of my time is not in a building, but it's in you.
Amen.
I pour my heart, my life into you, not the building. Yeah, we do stuff for the building. You got to. You need to maintain what God has blessed you with. Otherwise, it'll fall apart. But the most important thing in this building is you.
All right. Amen.
You, Janet, you.
Amen.
Ron, you. Brian, you, man. Okay. Amanda, it's you.
Amen.
You're the most important thing in here. And so when Paul wrote this letter to the church at Corinth, he's writing to people. And he said, "You are the body of Christ. And members in particular." Now notice what he said in the very next verse. "And God has set some in the church." He's not talking about the building. He's talking about the people. God has set some in and among the called out ones. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now, notice the next verse. Are all apostles? What's the answer?
No
but some are.
Yeah.
Are all prophets? No, but some are. Are all teachers? No, but some are. Are all workers of miracles? No, but some are. Have all gifts of healings? No, but some do. Do all speak with tongues? Talking about diverse kinds of tongues. No, but some do. Do all interpret tongues? No, but some do. But covet earnestly the best gifts. Yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And then he begins an exhortation on love, agape. So we are to covet spiritual gifts. What does it mean to covet something? We've often thought coveting was bad. Why did we think coveting was bad? Come on, help me out now. Somebody, come on, y'all talk back to me. Help a brother out. The Bible says, the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not covet what? Your neighbor's stuff. Starting with his wife, going down to his ass, his donkey. Okay? And we've often thought, because the Bible says don't covet your neighbor's stuff, that we're not to covet anything. That's not correct. We are to covet the things of God. But don't covet something that belongs to somebody else. Are you with me? There's nothing wrong with wanting a donkey. Go buy your own. But when you want somebody else's donkey, you got a problem. There's nothing wrong with wanting a wife. But want your own, not somebody else's. Oh, y'all got quiet on me there. We are to covet the best gifts. Things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost. And so notice that God has set some in the church, people. God has set some. God has set some. So if God has set these ministry gifts in the church, who are we to arbitrarily remove them? Who are we to arbitrarily ignore them? And we recognize the ministry of the teacher, the pastor. Well, some people do. See, I used to hang out with folk when I got filled with the Spirit. I hung around a group of people. They only recognized two ministry gifts. You're either a pastor or an evangelist. Notice that evangelist was not in that list we just read. Now, we know evangelist is a valid ministry. You're either a pastor or an evangelist. If you happen to be a female, then you could be a missionary. Dress up like a nurse. Are you with me? And preach every fifth Sunday. Missionary Sunday. Come on, Sister Margie, can I get an amen? I remember years ago, I went to preach in a church in Youngstown, Ohio. They invited me to speak, and I showed up, small little church, and there was this big, fat Lincoln town car parked in the front of the church. And I went in and met the pastor. This guy looked like he just jumped out of GQ magazine. He was... Man, this dude was, he was righteous from head to toe. He was sharp. Then I met his wife, dressed like a nurse. Standing there with the nurse shoes on, the nurse's uniform, the little white hat. And I thought, what have they got, invalids in the church or something? I mean, why is she dressed like that? Well, she's a missionary. You know, she looked all, anyway, let me shut up. He looked like GQ. She looked all homely looking. I said, something ain't right here. Something ain't right here. But Peg and I went there, ministered, preached, and, you know, God did some things. See, but many times our perception of what ministry is not in line with what God has done. So God has set in the church, notice, first apostles, apostolos. That literally means the admiral or one who establishes foundations. There are people that God has placed in the body of Christ. That's what they do. Prophets, people who have revelation consistently. Not just somebody who has it on their business card, but that's what they do. Teachers, people who make spiritual principles easy to understand. That's what I do. I'm not a preacher per se. I'm a teacher. That's my job. That's what God has anointed me to do. So hopefully when you leave these doors, you know more than when you came in. You with me? My job is not to entertain you, make you feel good, give you goosebumps. My job is to inform you, give you information that you can use. Teachers. But notice, miracles and gifts of healings. These are individuals that God has placed in the body of Christ who are anointed by the Spirit of God to bring healing and deliverance to people and or to work miracles. Work miracles. And so we need to understand how the Holy Spirit works. What is gifts of healings? Let's talk about it. It is simply this, a supernatural healing of sickness and disease without any mediation whatsoever. Now, what do I mean mediation? That means no medicine, no doctors. That means God shows up and His power is displayed and people are supernaturally healed. Now, listen to me. There are many ways to receive healing. Gifts of healings is just one method that God uses. God is not opposed to medical science and or doctors and or medicine. Are you with me?
Amen.
It is not a lack of faith to take your medicine.
Amen.
Or to have surgery or to have a medical procedure. Let me knock that right out of the ballpark, okay? Years ago, I was standing in my father-in-law's living room and an older man came in who my father-in-law knew. I didn't know this guy. And this guy, you know, you could tell he was a little country. I grew up in the country. I'm country. Nobody gets more country than me. If you saw where I grew up, you'd say Pastor Bill is as country as they can be. I'm telling you, I grew up in the woods. That's why I don't go camping today. Been there, done that. Lived it. And so, this fellow was from the country. And he said, well, Pastor, I believe if you follow God, you never has to be cut off. And I thought, uh-oh, that's a very dangerous way to live. You with me? Now, we know God heals, but to think that if you follow God, then you don't need medical science is foolishness. All right, y'all with me? I'm not teaching you that you stay away from the doctor. No, if you have something and you need to go to the doctor, I encourage everybody to go to the doctor, especially you guys. All right, for some reason, men are afraid of the doctor. Nothing to be scared of. You with me? They may do some things from time to time that are not pleasant, but you don't have to be afraid of the doctor. The doctor's there to help you. Okay? And so, I'm not preaching against medical science when I define what gifts of healing is. Everybody with me?
Amen.
All right? Gifts of healing. A supernatural healing of sickness and disease without any mediation whatsoever. Now, turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Let me show you something here. Galatians chapter 3. Excuse me. We've often thought that if God was going to use somebody powerfully to heal the sick, it was going to be some big name evangelist, you know. And God will use people, but you don't have to be a big name evangelist. We saw in our last session in the book of Acts that there was a man in Jerusalem whose ministry was feeding widows, or as I always say, meals without wheels. His name was Stephen, one of the first diaconus or servants in the church at Jerusalem. His ministry was feeding widows in the daily ministry. And the Bible says in the book of Acts, mighty signs and wonders were wrought by his hands. That means Stephen put his hands on people and miraculous things took place. And I would dare to say people were healed. And he was not an evangelist or an apostle or a prophet or a pastor. His job was feeding widows. He was in the ministry of helps. Now notice Galatians chapter 3. We'll start with verse 5. Notice what it says, Galatians 3, 5. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. But the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Or those who follow his example of faith are blessed just like he was. But notice Paul, writing to the church at Galatia, acknowledged that there was someone within that local church who worked miracles and who laid hands on people to get them filled with the Spirit. That's one thing that Pastor Martin does every time he comes here. Lays hands on people and they get filled with the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all sitting right here, you got filled with the Holy Ghost when he laid his finger on you. Are you with me? He's anointed to do that. I've got a good friend in St. Louis, Leonard Barber. Leonard Barber, when I worked for a pastor named Lee Rice in St. Louis, we started a church called Victory Christian Outreach Center. And there were five of us families from Rhema, and we went to St. Louis to help this brother start this church. And Leonard, at the time, was our prayer room counselor. If you answered the altar call, you went to the prayer room with Leonard. He would give you some material, pray with you, and lay hands on you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I watched, in a five-year period, hundreds of people go into that prayer room. And I only remember one guy coming out of there not filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Just one. Out of hundreds, he's anointed that way. And that one guy got filled with the Holy Ghost on a Tuesday night. Because he didn't receive when Leonard had laid hands on him and prayed for him. And he expressed that in a Tuesday night class that I was teaching. And there was a retired school teacher named Mrs. Brown. And I never will forget, Mrs. Brown pulled him outside the class. Well, right after I got done teaching, laid hands on him, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And so she was anointed to do that. And so there are people in the body of Christ, not only at the church at Galatia, but I truly believe in the church at Erie, who are anointed to work miracles and get people filled with the Holy Spirit because God has set them in the church. I am also convinced of this one fact, that there are people who are anointed with gifts of healings and working of miracles sitting in churches right now in Erie, Pennsylvania, and those gifts will never be developed. Miracles will never take place and people will never be healed because those gifts have never been nurtured and developed. Amen. They sense the call of God. They sense the tugging of the Holy Ghost on the inside to do something. But because they're never taught, those gifts lie dormant. Well, it's not going to happen around here. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. We're talking about gifts of healings. Mark chapter 16. Notice that he said that whoever worked miracles among them in Galatia did it by the hearing of faith and not by the works of the law. So it's important that we teach people faith. Faith is the hand that receives from God. Do you realize that there were times when Jesus, who was anointed by the Holy Spirit without measure, there were times that people could receive from him only because of their faith. There was a time when he had gone out of a city and two blind men followed him, crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And so Jesus called both those blind men to him. And he administered probably for about a day, day and a half. I'm sure he was tired. These blind men came to where he was, and it was obvious that they were blind, and Jesus asked them a stupid question. You ever ask somebody a stupid question? Here was a stupid question. What do you want? What would you have that I do to you? What do you want me to do for you? It's obvious that they're blind. They said, Lord, that we might receive our sight. Then he asked him another stupid question. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said, yea, Lord. And then Jesus made an unusual statement. According to your faith, be it unto you. In other words, you're going to get what you believe for. And he laid his hands on them. But because they had released their faith, healing came. So even though Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost without measure, faith was necessary to receive from God. You with me? So we'll never get away from faith. And there are times, apart from faith, people will not receive. We all know the story about Mark chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood, right? You know, Jesus is on the way to Jairus' home. He has implored him to come lay his hands on his daughter that she may be healed and she'll live. And there was a woman with an issue of blood who had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had done this for 12 years, was nothing better, but she was getting worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched the hem of his garment, for she was saying, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. And when she touched the hem of his garment, power went out of him. The Bible says virtue, same Greek word, dunamis. Power went out of him into her, healed her instantly. And Jesus knew that power left him. Was in a crowd of people, stopped and said, who touched me? The disciples said, man, you crazy? Everybody's touching you. He said, who touched me? And she fell down and told him the truth. Now, here's the thing I want you to see. If she had not used her faith to get to him, she never would have been healed. If there ever was a chance encounter in life, that was it. Jesus didn't even know this woman existed. She was not on his radar screen at all. Are you with me? But because of her faith, she pressed through and received. So faith is important. Even with gifts of healings. Now, there are times gifts of healings will manifest and nobody's believing anything. But notice Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, very familiar verse to most of us. Notice verses 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they, what they? Them that believe, shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, notice it doesn't say, these signs shall follow the preachers. Is that what it says? These signs shall follow the apostles and prophets. No, it says, these signs shall follow, literally, accompany the believing ones. If you're a believing one, raise your hand. Are you a believing one? Well, the Bible says, Jesus said more specifically, these signs should follow you. So all of us can lay hands on the sick in faith and get them healed. Are you with me? All of us can lay hands on the sick in faith and get them healed. But there's a difference between that and gifts of healings. Gifts of healings is a deeper dimension of the same thing. Are you with me? And it happens many different ways. There were times people were healed and nobody touched them. Nobody touched them. But I want you to understand this. You have the ability. In fact, you've been commissioned to lay hands on the sick and bring healing to them. You might say, well, Pastor Bill, I didn't listen to your series on the radio on Jehovah Rapha. That's okay. You only have to know five little words. Are you ready? These are real important. I don't want you to forget these five little words for the rest of your life. You ready? Here they are. In Jesus' name, be healed. You with me? Y'all going to sleep or something. Let's all say it together. In Jesus' name, be healed. You don't have to holler. You don't have to spit. You don't have to anoint with oil. Now, you can do that. You don't have to scream at the top of your lungs. You don't even have to put your hands in the middle of their forehead or your finger like Pastor Martin does. Put the finger on you. You can touch them on their hand. You can touch them on their elbow. You can touch them on their shoulder and say those five little words, in Jesus' name be healed. And God's power will flow from you to them. Now, it's important that we teach them faith, how to believe that they receive, and how to hold on to their healing. Are you with me? You're not going to be real successful when you lay hands on somebody who's sick and say, in Jesus' name be healed, and they say, well, I just think this thing's going to kill me. Well, their faith is not working in the right area. It's always good to teach them simply one thing. Jesus paid the price for your healing at the cross. Amen. Healing belongs to you. You with me? Healing belongs to you. Jesus paid the price. And you know, really, that's what it boils down to anyway. Everything we do has to do with the gospel and what Jesus did on the cross. That's basically it. Now, gifts of healings is nothing more than a confirmation that Jesus is alive. Now, what am I saying to you? If Jesus is still alive, He'll still do the same things today that He did yesterday. Amen. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
If He's still alive and He healed in His day, then He still heals today. That's why the Bible says Jesus Christ, the same, not different, but the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I like what Jeremy Gall always shares with us. There's not an African Jesus and an American Jesus and a South American Jesus and a Russian Jesus. Jesus will do right here in Erie, Pennsylvania, what He'll do in the backwoods of Africa. You with me? They don't call them woods, they call them bush. In the bush of Africa. But we've just got to have enough confidence to trust Him. Amen? Okay, let's finish with this passage. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Oh, good time. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 4. Gifts of healings. Gifts of healings brings confirmation of the Word of God with signs and gives proof of the resurrection of Christ. If Jesus is who He says He is, and if He's still alive today, then He'll still do the same things He did when He was on the earth. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, notice Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to begin with verse 23. It says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic." You know what lunatic means? Crazy people. All right? Crazy people. Those that were lunatic. Lost my place. Here we go. "And those that were possessed with devils, those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and He healed them. And there followed Him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from Jordan." Now, Jesus healed people of various diseases, various ailments. It didn't matter if it were mental, if it were physical. It didn't matter if they were considered lunatic. He was able to heal them all. Now, gifts of healings. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring deliverance to people. And here's what I want to end with. I want you to understand this one thing, the most important thing. The reason God wants to use you to minister life to people is that He wants every person to be made completely whole. Doesn't matter if it's physically or mentally or socially. God wants every person to be made completely whole. In other words, there is nothing lacking. There is no deficit whatsoever. That is God's plan for every person. So when Jesus walked the earth, His intent was to bring the kingdom of God into the lives of people and make them whole. Didn't matter what the affliction was, didn't matter what the disease was, didn't matter what the problem was. God's intent is that everybody be made whole. Nothing lacking, nothing short, no deficits. Are you with me? Many times we limit God and our own understanding by thinking that, well, you know, this is a special case. Really? Special case? Really? Is it too hard for God? Many times we think that, well, you know, this is a condition. I've never seen anybody with this thing get healed. Well, there are a lot of things you've never seen. Are you with me? I remember many years ago, my mother asked me to go to Presbyterian Hospital in Pittsburgh and pray for a woman. I said, okay. My mother had just had knee surgery, and she met this woman when she was in the hospital. And she said, David, would you go by and pray for this lady? She really needs prayer. I said, okay, Mom. And so I made a trip to Pittsburgh, went to Presbyterian Hospital, had the room number, had permission from this woman to come and pray for her. And when I walked in the room, I was shocked. I had no idea that she was in the shape that she was in. This woman had a condition where her joints and bones would malform and become deformed and separate. And so she was literally suspended in midair and in traction. And you should have seen the contortions and the different ways that her body was starting to develop and grow. I'd never seen anything like it in my life. And my mom just said she really needs prayer. I had no idea that she was in that shape. But you know what? When I saw it, I almost missed God. I almost thought, oh my goodness, you know, what am I going to do here? I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen God heal anything like this. But just then, the Spirit of God quickened me. And so I opened my Bible and began to share that Jesus bore her infirmities and carried her sickness. And it was the will of God for her to be well. All the time my mind is giving me fits. I've never seen anything like this, let alone seen God heal anything like this. Well, there's a lot of stuff I've never seen. But my faith is in God and in His Word, not in what I see. And so I prayed for that woman, lay hands on that woman. And when I walked out of that hospital, I was so excited because I knew in my hands I had the answer to every malady that the human family has ever come into contact with. It's right here. This is the answer right here. In fact, the answer is alive. It's Jesus, the living Word. So never be intimidated. Never be intimidated by somebody's problem. I don't care what it is. Never be intimidated. But just know that God wants them well and God wants them whole. And if you'll be obedient, if you'll have enough guts to touch people and say those five little words, in Jesus' name be healed, watch what God will do through you. Watch what God will do through you. Now, if you're a chicken and more concerned about your social status and what somebody's going to think about you, grow up. Get over it. Are you with me? I don't care about what people think of me. I want them to think of me in a nice way, but people's opinion of me really doesn't matter. Are y'all with me? Y'all still love Pastor Bill? See, this isn't a popularity contest. We're about the kingdom business. We're about people. We want to see people delivered. We want to see people made whole. We want to see people set free. So never be intimidated. Doesn't matter what they got or where they got it. You with me? Doesn't matter what they got or where they got it. Lay your hands on them and say those five little words. In Jesus' name, be healed. I don't care if the doctor's giving them a bad report. Well, the doctor said this. Well, thank God for doctors. Here's what Jesus said. Here's what Dr. Jesus said. In Jesus' name, be healed. Amen? Watch what God will do. Gifts of healings. And there are times the Spirit of God will inspire you to do things that may be a little unusual. Just obey Him. Watch what He'll do. Watch what He'll do. Amen? These things happen as the Spirit wills. I wish we could turn them on, turn them off. Doesn't work that way. But we just have to put our spiritual antenna up and listen to His voice. And if He doesn't say anything, just obey what the Word says. These signs shall accompany the believing ones. They'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. That's the will of God for every person. Amen? Hallelujah. That's where we'll pick up next week. Let's all stand.